League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
What are we starting with this week?
A wee review.
We review.
You're right. It is a wee review. So this one says, awesome podcast. Thumbs up. And it's got 5 stars. I really love this podcast. I tend to listen to it as I'm drawing, so I'm not always paying attention. Should have read beyond the first line of this one. So I randomly just zone back into Luke or Jamp saying something funny and Corey trying to get the podcast back on track through the laughs. But I do learn stuff, and it's always interesting to learning about new things. Perfect mix of learning and comedy. I binge listened to all the episodes recently, and it's weird knowing I've listened to like 100 hours of this podcast.
Ooh.
Wow, yeah, it's been 100 hours, isn't
it? Weird to think that we've made 100 hours of this podcast.
You can listen to this podcast for over 2 days straight.
Ew.
Actually, over like four or more days straight. Yeah. And not have to stop.
We are officially longer than a Harry Potter marathon, which is good to know.
Good to know. And it's much, much more interesting than Harry Potter marathon.
Yes.
But no, if you want to leave a review, you can head to Apple Podcasts and leave a review there. We'd very much appreciate a little 5-star review. It really helps out the podcast. Shall we start the show, guys?
Let's start the show, guys.
Let's crack on with it. Let's start the show.
And welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jamp and Luke Cutford.
Hello!
Well, hello there.
This week, we're talking about being gay and doing crimes.
Oh. I've done one of those things. And it's not being gay.
But being gay may be a crime.
So it is a crime.
Two birds with one stone.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. What's the face for, Luke? What are you thinking? What's going on in that noggin?
I'm just trying to work out what we're going to be talking about.
I'm
trying to work out if you're talking about when being gay was a crime or where being gay still is a crime, etc.
How does science come into that?
The
science.
Did you forget what the podcast was about?
Yes, I did.
We're on the crime guys.
Is it about whether gay people are more or less likely to commit crimes?
It's not about that.
Oh.
It's about a very specific gay crime. And that sounds awful. It's
about, a crime against fashion.
It's about a very specific crime by a gay person. So let me tell you a little bit about Anne McLean. You guys heard of Anne McLean?
That sounds like a name, yeah.
It is a name. Yeah. It is a name. You guys will know who Anne McLean is soon. You'll feel, you're going to kick yourself.
Okay.
So she was born on the 7th of June, 1979. She's, 41 years old at the time of recording.
Okay.
She was born in Spokane, Washington. I hope it's pronounced Spokane. If you're from Spokane, Washington, please let me know. She was raised there also. Now, she does enjoy a bit of weightlifting. She likes some rugby. She likes some golf, biking, CrossFit, and running. I'll tell you where I got that from in a bit. Let's go through her education. So she graduated from a preparatory school in 1987. She got a bachelor's of science. Just stop me if you know what I'm going to be talking about, by the way. She got a bachelor's of science in mechanical and aeronautical engineering from the U.S. Military Academy at West Point in 2002.
Was she like closet in the military when you weren't allowed to be gay in the military?
I mean, she was, yeah, but that's not the story.
Is that not, I mean, that was a crime, I assume, when that happened.
No, don't ask, don't tell was a thing that they had in the US where you were allowed to be, so first of all, initially you weren't allowed to be gay in the military, I'm fairly sure,
right?
In the US. And then they had don't ask, don't tell, which meant that they were no longer allowed to ask you if you were homosexual, and they were no longer allowed, and you were no longer allowed to tell anyone that you were homosexual. But you could be gay in the military so long as you didn't ask someone if they were gay. And they didn't tell you. I think
you just work at it together.
Yeah, this is me picking this up from what Obama said and from The Simpsons. So it may be some of the details may be a bit fuzzy.
Subject
there.
Subject to change.
That has been repealed though, so you're allowed to be gay in the military now
and talk about
Great.
It.
Great.
Talk about it to your heart's content.
So she wasn't in the military when it was literally illegal to be gay in the military.
She could have been. I actually don't know when that was.
Okay, because that would be, I guess, a gay crime.
I mean, I suppose it would be.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, carry on your story.
So, yeah, she graduated. She got that Bachelor of Science at the U.S. Military Academy in West Point in 2002. And then in 2002, she then went on to get a Master of Science in Aerospace Engineering from the University of Bath in England. And she graduated from that in 2004. And then she got a Master's of Science in International Relations from the University of Bristol, which is in Bristol, which is in England. And that was in 2005. So she's a senior Army aviator. She's had over 2,000 flight hours in 20 different rotary and fixed wing aircrafts.
She's flying them as opposed to like remote flying?
No, she's been in those. Yeah, she's had 2,000 flight hours. She's a pilot.
Cool.
And we know who this person is.
You know who this person is. The next sentence I'm about to say is going to give it away. Okay. Right? But I want you guys to...
I'm currently clueless.
Okay, so. Right. Before I say this next sentence, let's go through the facts that we know already, right? I really want you guys to get this.
Okay.
So, this is science-based, right?
Yeah.
Right.
She does something very science-based, something we've spoken about before. She is a pilot.
Hang on, is the thing we've spoken about before that's science-based, is that thing gay?
We actually have spoken about a gay person that did the same job.
Astronaut?
Yes, she's an astronaut. So what gay astronaut do you know about that may have... Sally Ride, but that may or may not have committed a crime in recent years. Well, you guys must have heard about this story.
The space heist, right?
The space heist?
I can't remember. I mentioned it before.
You have mentioned... I know. when we did the episode on Sally Ride, one of you mentioned this. I thought you'd get it. But we'll talk about it.
Oh, it is that?
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll get there in a bit. Okay. So in 2013, she was selected as one of eight members of the 21st class of NASA astronauts. And she became an astronaut, essentially. So she's been up in space a couple times, I think. She finished her training in 2015 in July, and she has been to space. So most recently she was the flight engineer on the ISS, the International Space Station, for Expedition 58 and 59. So I think she went up to space once, but I think it was for two different missions technically.
Right.
Yeah. So that was from December 3rd, 2018 to June 24th, 2019. So they launched from, I think it was Russia. So the, Baikonur Cosmodrome on the Soyuz spacecraft. There was obviously a bunch of other astronauts there with her, Canadian astronauts, Russian cosmonauts, and they did hundreds of biology experiments, biotechnology experiments, experiments about physical science and earth science, and also looked into small devices that could basically replicate the structure and function of organs from humans. And they also did DNA editing in space for the first time ever. And they recycled, they did things about recycling 3D printed material. She did two spacewalks and did 13 hours and 8 minutes on her mission to space of spacewalks. So she spent a total of 204 days in space. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's cool. So let me tell you guys about the crime. Have you guys heard about this crime?
No.
I've forgotten the details. I call it space heist, but I don't think it's actually a heist. It was something like between her and her wife. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
So in August 2019, let me tell you about Summer Worden. Summer Worden is an Air Force intelligence officer living in Kansas. And she used to be married to Anne McLean. Mm-hmm. But they have separated and divorced.
Oh, ex-wife. Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
And in 2019, they were going through the process of that divorce. Yeah.
Yes.
So essentially, there was a lot of dispute about this. There was a lot of trouble around it because, look, are you distracted by your cat?
Sorry, she's just so cute. She's walking around. I am listening to everything you're saying. I promise. I am yet to see the crime here. Is it a crime? Is it like a crime? Are we not going to like this person? Or is it like a crime that actually we don't think should be a crime?
Well, there was a claim of a crime. And a crime was committed. I am telling you about gay crimes.
From space.
Well, that's just, that's hotly disputed, isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But yeah, it is interesting, though, because thinking about crimes in space is always... we've not been to space very often.
There aren't any crime. You can't... I mean, is it international law? Does that apply in space?
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Because there are specific laws about space.
There's no, like, banks to rob up in space.
That's exactly. It's quite difficult to do any crime that isn't cybercrime in space. Yeah. And that's exactly...
Or murder crime.
You could, yeah. Well,
yeah, but that's pointless, isn't it?
Just go full Among Us and, like, start killing people.
Yeah, but then... Okay, no, but you couldn't, because then you'd just die in space too.
Yeah,
because it'd be hard to get back down from space by yourself. Yeah. And also, they wouldn't want to send anyone up, because if you were in space in your spacesuit wielding a knife, right? Anyone that came onto the space station is like, well, they've got a knife and we've got to get off our spacecraft to get into the station. Mm-hmm. So they've got, like, you know, they've got the element of, they've got the element of surprise. They've got the high ground.
I would just like to see it personally.
What, an astronaut go nuts and just
start. I need a film.
That'd be a great horror film, I think. Yeah. So
you're right, that's what the space movie genre needs. We've got bored of, like, just look at the good gravity effects we can do. You need aliens, murder in space, but, like, realistic, like on the ISS, 2001 Space Odyssey style murder film.
Because this is the thing, right? All of the space films that we've got so far, right, are either about sci-fi stuff where, oh, there's an alien that's killing us, right? Or it's like, oh, it's Cloverfield paradox
where it's like ultimate dimension.
Or it's just being in space is really dangerous and a lot of people die, like that film that's coming out at some point in the future, and all of the many other films. Yeah, and Gravity.
Yeah.
And basically, most space films is about how dangerous space is, right? I think there should be a film, and it should be set up as though it's like Alien, right? Mm-hmm. Where there's something stalking them on the ship, and they think it's an alien or whatever, and it actually turns out it's not an alien. It's just a crew member that's...
It's kind of a bit nuts.
You're right. Yeah. You need, like, you know how, like, they've got all these films where someone being gay is the whole thing? Like, it's a gay film. And then you get films where it's like being gay is an incidental part of the character. You need space to be an incidental part of the story. And actually, it's just a really solid story that just happens to be in space. That would be really cool.
Man, I'm already watching this film with my head. It sounds so... Like, the visuals you could get from...
Exactly.
Like,
you could,
but it gives you it gives you a good excuse for them to be trapped in, like, this one contained area.
I mean, it's perfect for a horror... That's why we've done it for horror so many times. Yeah. But, like, in terms of, like, the human element of it, oh, wow. Gosh, Luke, can you write this film, please?
I will begin now.
Because, like, every slasher film, I'm just like, you'd go to the police, wouldn't you? You would just go straight to police.
Houston, we have a... Oh, my God, and the blood splatter in space.
Oh, those fluid simulations would be gorgeous.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Lovely.
That is... Okay, right.
We need to write this. Sorry.
Copyright, sorry,
business
guys.
Meeting on the podcast. Don't steal it. Don't steal it, please.
It's ours. It's our idea. Okay, so I told you about Summer Warden, who was an Air Force intelligence officer. She lived in Kansas. She was married to Anne McLean. And since then, she, like, in the summer of 2019, or in August 2019, she was going through divorce. Now, Summer Warden had a son who was born about a year before she met Anne McLean. And so she and Anne raised this child. And obviously the kid was about, what, 4 years old, but Anne started going to space. So Anne had basically raised him from the age of, like, about one.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just to give you an idea of their kind of relationship. And Summer Warden worked at the NSA, National Security Agency. And she did not want McLean to adopt the child. So what could happen is if you've got a partner and you are raising your child, your biological child, with your partner who is not the biological parent of your child, you can have the partner adopt the child, and then they'll have all the same rights as a biological parent. Now Summer Warden did not want that to happen. She's like, no. And in early 2018, they were still married. And Anne McLean went to the court to get shared parenting rights, and also the exclusive right to designate the primary residence of the child if they couldn't reach a mutual agreement. Because basically, I think they were at that point going to separate. And apparently, Summer Warden has a temper and is not very good with money. And essentially Anne McLean has, she's the kid's parent. Like, she raised the kid. And so she wants what's best for him.
So she's trying to take the kid away from the biological mother and adopt the kid.
Well, not take the kid away. So while they were still together, she wanted to adopt the kid so she would have parental rights over the kid, along with...
Sure. Yeah, so it's essentially her kid. It just it's just not biologically
Her it's child. Just that with the law, like biological children, when it comes to like parental rights, you basically have them automatically as a biological parent. But if you're not a biological parent, you need to go through the courts to get that.
How long was she raising this
Like 4 years?
Child?
About 4 years at that point.
Pretty sizable amount of time. Wait, so was the kid, how old was the kid? Sorry, lots of questions.
She met the kid when the kid was about one.
Okay, so it's still a child, and she's raised it for most of the child's life. So we'll consider her as much of a parent as the other person.
Yes. Exactly. Cool. Exactly.
All right, legend, you do that. That's wonderful news. Steal that child.
She's not stealing, and she's not trying to steal the child. She's That's on Twitter as well. I was gonna tag her in the tweet about this episode, but now.
No, we can cut the steal that child. No, I can just do it again. I can just say,
You are standing by your words. We're keeping that in.
I mean this in like, that's how the biological mother will view it. But like, I'm all for it. If the biological mother's not doing very well,
well, from
grab
what it
that
seems,
child.
From what it seems, it doesn't seem like she was trying to steal the child because she, like, obviously they would both still have parental rights. She would just get to decide where the kid lives primarily.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if she is back the steal that child to comment then.
Yeah.
You can it if you want.
No. Oh. We're not embarrassed by it. We're not embarrassed by that. We didn't say it.
I just want what's best for the child, okay? I don't care about either of these people. Just child.
So the idea here is not to steal the child for anyone listening. It's more to make sure that she has the right to sort of determine where the child is going to stay. Because... Mm-hmm. She wants what's best for the kid, and staying in an unstable place may not be what's best. So she also went to NASA with the kid, because at this point she was, she was working with NASA, working for NASA, and she had official NASA photos taken with her and her, well, let's call her son. This is the thing. The biological mother of the son got quite annoyed about this, supposedly, from what
just
I've seen.
Just the pictures?
Yeah, because they were separating, and she thought it was, I assume she thought it was a baby a bit out of line to get official government pictures taken with a child that wasn't hers, you know? So the biological mother of the son was like, hey, we're going through a separation, and you don't get to be the parent of this kid anymore because you're not with me. Mm. And so don't take him to NASA and get official pictures taken and post it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Maybe don't. So those pictures were taken down. And this is a quote from Anne McLean. The hardest part about training for space is the 4-year-old I have to leave behind every time I walk out the door. And that's what she said about that time. So like, this is just setting the scene for you, laying the groundwork, letting you know that it's not just some random kid. This is her son, you know? Yeah. She's raised the kid.
Yeah.
Sorry, can I just quickly ask?
Yes.
I have lost track, and I feel like some people also may have lost track with me. The biological mother is the astronaut, or the biological mother is the NSA person?
Biological mother is the NSA person. Astronaut is the...
Anne McLean.
Is the Anne McLean.
Yeah.
So the astronaut is the person hoping to adopt the child.
Well, she wanted to adopt the child when they were still together, so that she could get parental rights.
And is now hoping to become one of the primary parents, despite the breakup.
So this was in 2018, before...
Now, as in this story, as I'm following it in real time.
Oh, okay, yes. Yes.
Present day in the story. Yes. Don't spoil the ending, Corey.
Okay, right. Let me give us a quick roundup of what's happened so far.
Yes.
Okay. Anne McLean, the astronaut, was married to an NSA agent who had a son. And Anne McLean, the astronaut, and the NSA agent raised the son for a few years, but then they went to separate. Mm-hmm. Now, the NSA agent had always kept Anne McLean at sort of a bit of a distance from fully claiming parental rights over the son. And there were some issues in the relationship, and the NSA agent, Anne McLean, thought that the NSA agent wasn't necessarily fit to decide where the son's primary residence was. Mm-hmm. So Anne McLean tried to get those rights. And there was some hardship there. Anne McLean also took the son to NASA, took some pictures, posted them publicly, and the biological mother, the NSA agent, did wasn't happy about that. No, no, was not happy.
No.
So because that was all on social media, the biological mother, the NSA agent, was not happy at all, because she didn't, like I said, she did not want Anne McLean to be seen as the mother of her child. And so she filed for divorce. The NSA agent filed for divorce, claiming that, basically she filed for divorce, and then Anne McLean accused her of assault. But the charges for that were later dropped. It's a whole messy, it's a very messy situation.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so this is the thing. That was where that was. And then in 2019, Anne McLean's ex-wife, the NSA agent, mm-hmm. Noticed that someone had been looking at her finances.
Oh no.
From someone, space?
What?
The IP address was like space.
Zero.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry, I ruined it, but wow.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, who else is it going to be? Who is it going to be? The child?
Could have been. No, so... So she went to her banker. She was like, oh, coming from space. It was from it was from a computer network that was registered to NASA. She only knows one person that has access that's from NASA.
Child.
Who could it be?
The child. He was at NASA.
There's pictures of him there.
And at this point, Anne McLean was in space. She was on a 6-month mission. And she was about to do NASA's first all female spacewalk. As well.
Talked about part that. Of that.
Yeah. Well. So
they left without her because she was too busy hacking the bank.
Okay, so
I need to stay back and do something.
You guys go ahead. I've got to get into this bank.
I'll catch up. I'll speed walk. I'll do the first space speed walk.
So Anne McLean claimed that she did not do anything wrong.
Yeah.
That she had access to the account because the password hadn't changed, and she was doing what she always did, just looking over the finances to make sure that her ex-wife and her son had enough money, because as we've already established, that ex-wife, not necessarily the best with money. So
very true.
Yeah, very, very true. Very true. As you know her very well.
I do know, yeah, she's awful.
Yeah. Reel that one in. Real people we're talking about that are still alive and could potentially listen to this podcast.
Oh dear.
It is a strange feeling. We're usually talking about people who are dead and we're talking about their actions in the 1900s. Now it's like, oh, these people are still going about. And that's...
And can be mad at us on Twitter.
And I called one of them a child thief.
No, it is very strange to be talking about someone that is still alive. So, she was supposed to be a part of the first all-female spacewalk. And there were all these issues about, whether she'd committed a crime. And again, like I said, she said that she was just doing what she normally did. She was just looking after the finances, making sure that everything's fine. She didn't actually touch or change anything. She didn't look at anything that she didn't have any sort of permission to look at. She basically looked at the bank account from space to check that her ex-wife had enough money.
Such a flex.
Right?
Just checking your money from space.
Don't mind me, just checking my ex-wife's bank account from space.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. You think I'm looking down on you? Well, I am in space. It's kind of hard to not look down
looking
on you.
Looking down on everyone.
Being so high up here. I mean, yeah, you can say I look down on everyone from space.
You look so small from here.
Oh, look, tiny little ants. Tiny little ants down there. Oh, I can't even see you. Because I'm in space.
Oh, have you lost weight? Oh, you're just really far away. Sorry, you look small.
he loves you to the moon and back? Well, guess who has been to the moon and back? Me.
He's not gone past me. I haven't seen him.
God, I honestly, this is the thing. I want to go to space, but I should not be allowed to go to space because I know I would never let it go. It'd become a core part. Like, it would be a core part of my personality.
New personality trait.
Ding. Like, do you know those people that go on like a holiday to like a backpacking holiday or like a gap year, and then they never shut up about it?
Oh, it's like that time I was in Barbados.
Oh yeah, you know, I was just really helping those like poor African children, and like, you know, it really teaches you a lot about yourself. I just be like, yeah, so I was up in space, and you're seeing the Earth. It just really teaches you a lot about yourself, you know, like the new perspective, you know, no gravity.
Honey, yeah, the oven's warmed up. It's like when I was in Bali. It's just like that kind of warm, you know.
Oh gosh, I dropped the glass. I spilled that glass. I'm sorry. See, if this was in space, wouldn't have spilled. So I'm just so used to being in space.
I stayed there. Sorry, I'm just so used to space. You do it on purpose as well. You'd be like, oh, oops.
Oh, yeah, you specifically drop a glass of red wine on your friend's rug. Be like, oh, see if this was in space.
Sorry, I'm just so used to space, silly me. Who can blame me?
So anyway, I said to Houston, oh, Houston, sorry, that's space talk. So back to Anne McLean. So I mentioned this all-female spacewalk. And McLean was going to be on the first all-female spacewalk. There was going to be two of them going to do a spacewalk. Spacewalk is when you put on your spacesuit.
Okay, now when you say the first all-female spacewalk, I picture like five women.
Oh, yeah. I definitely thought it was...
I thought it was like five, six, seven women all going out together. I know there's not that many.
I think there were only five people on that mission anyway.
But I pictured like all of them going out together, you know? And it's, they're all female and it's like that, but it's... I know.
Yeah, that's like saying we're going clubbing and someone says who, and you're like, all of us. And it turns out that's two people.
It's just me and you.
Yeah. But again,
when it's all, yeah.
Spacewalks are generally small. So they were
out. It's the both female spacewalk.
Yes. The first both female spacewalk. So it was supposed to be her and Christina Koch. But there was a very sudden change because Anne McLean ended up not doing it. And the first all-female spacewalk was essentially cancelled. She was replaced by Nick Hay. And the reason for this, why do you think the reason for this was? Bear in mind it was happening during this media frenzy of the potential crime that had been committed.
I guess NASA just were like, we think you should not do it because it will take away from the amazing moment. And if you get put in jail, it's going to be pretty crap for the first all-female spacewalk to have included a criminal.
Well, you might think that, right? And you could be right, but the reason that we know, the reason that we were told, was that it was actually McLean's own decision, because she realized that during her first spacewalk, she realized that a medium spacesuit fit her best. It was the best fit for her. But there was only one medium on the ship.
Oh, no.
And it was already being used by Christina. She was like, well, gosh, I can't use another size of spacesuit.
Can't share.
Can't use the one that I used last time. I you know, so I guess I can't go out on the spacewalk. It's got nothing to do with what's going on in my personal life. So yeah, I assume that she was told by NASA, hey, probably best that you don't do this. But yeah, no, she said that it was because the spacesuit was too small.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. So the first all-female spacewalk ended up not happening. But also, this is pretty awful in that she was outed. This was her outing, essentially, because she wasn't out as a lesbian at the time.
Oh.
Outed in space.
The New York Times was the one that ran, they were the ones that ran the article of the accusation of the crime. Now, this would make her, this essentially makes her the first astronaut that is out as gay.
And the first space criminal.
No, we've not gotten to the bottom of the case yet.
A lot of people say they don't do a crime.
We've not gotten to.
I swear I didn't do it.
We've not gotten to the bottom of the case yet. Assuming her guilt is
no, of course. Well, you told me that's what she did. So she didn't.
I never told you that's what she did.
Okay, sorry. I assumed. Terrible of me.
I told you that she accessed the accounts, and I told you why she said she accessed them. I didn't say that she did anything wrong.
I don't know if that's. I mean, I would assume that's illegal because it's not your account.
But she had permission. She said
from who?
The account holder.
The wife?
The wife. The ex-wife. Yeah.
But the ex-wife then went and reported it.
Yeah.
But she gave her permission.
Well, we'll get to that.
In the past.
Things aren't adding up, I know.
Oh, dear.
So this outing would make her the first openly gay...
Outed. Yeah,
no. the first openly gay astronaut. At the time of being an astronaut. Now, there were two other lesbian astronauts. There was Sally Ride, who we know, who was also married Bantha. Samantha. Can't find her.
Samantha. Shall I find it?
Can you Google gay? Google gay.
Gay astronauts.
Gay astronaut.
Gay.
It's the second one.
Samantha.
Oh, I've got it. Wendy B. Lawrence. Yes. Keep all that in.
Wendy Doobie Lawrence.
Yeah, Wendy Doobie Lawrence, though. So the second gay astronaut that we know of is Wendy B. Lawrence. She is a lesbian. She came out, I think, in 2018. But after she finished being an astronaut. So she was an astronaut, I think, in the 90s and noughties.
So the first openly gay astronaut while still being an astronaut in space.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Was Anne McLean. And it kind of sucks that she was outed in that way.
Yeah.
You know, kind of sucks. But it's good that, you know, that she's still cool.
Yeah.
You know, she's all right with it, yeah. It seems. And this is the thing. I've told you this already, that there has been some dispute over whether she actually committed a crime in space. So let's jump forward to April 2020. Essentially, there was a long investigation. And it was found out that actually Summer Warden, the ex-wife, had lied to investigators. She had lied about when she'd last accessed the account. She'd lied about when the password was changed. She'd lied about giving consent to Anne McLean. So Anne McLean was cleared. She didn't do anything wrong. She did exactly what she said she'd done. She didn't commit a crime in space.
No crime.
No, but someone else did commit a crime. There was a gay person that committed a crime.
Summer Warden.
Summer Warden.
Yeah.
She lied.
She lied.
She lied.
She did lie.
And so she actually got in trouble for her lies. She ended up basically, she was charged with something that could end up with up to 5 years in prison. So I don't think it's been it's come out what's actually happened to her yet. But yeah, so there was a gay and there was a crime, but it's not the one that you think.
The gay wasn't in space. There was a gay in space.
Have there been any space crimes yet?
Well, this is the thing. I've got some crimes that have been that are space related, space adjacent crimes. So in 2011, there was a widow of a space engineer that was trying to sell a moon rock. So they did a sting operation, NASA, to try and catch that widow, which if she has a moon rock,
catch that widow.
Yeah. Well, look, if she has a moon rock, right. And yeah. She got it by not unscrupulous means. I think she should be allowed
to
sell it.
Go to the moon.
No, I think the space engineer gave it to her and then died.
That seems likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think she snuck up to the moon just to nick a rock to sell on eBay.
Nip up to the moon real quick. I'll be back.
We're carrying
in
a
the
bit
dead
of
night.
We're carrying a bit of extra weight here. I'm not really sure what's going on. Yeah, no. So there was that. In 2013, there was a Russian satellite that was damaged after colliding with a destroyed satellite.
Oh, no.
That China had destroyed, actually, with a 2007 missile test. So there was some criminal damage there.
Oh dear.
And then also in 2017, an Austrian businessman, he sued a company that does space tourism because he'd put down a deposit for a trip to space, but it didn't seem like it was going anywhere. So he sued them to try and get some money back. So those are just some cases of space adjacent crimes.
Just needs to be patient. We'll get there eventually.
We'll get there at some point. Yeah, no, this is the thing. We don't actually have many crimes that were actually necessarily committed by a person in space. But as more people are going to space, it's becoming more likely. And also, as commercial space travel becomes possible, it's going to be, we need to be ready for it. You know, we need to be ready for those space pirates, those space criminals, as it were. Perhaps make a space jail.
A space jail.
Yeah.
Just a cage out in space.
Space rehab facility.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
No, so there are some laws in space. Do you guys know about any of the sort of general ideas of the laws of space?
Or, can't own the moon?
Yeah, you can't own the moon.
You can't own the moon.
No one can own the moon. Oh. So there are three main points when it comes to space and law. I'll just read them out verbatim. This is from the, where is this from? This is from the UN Office of Outer Space Affairs. Which is the thing.
Okay.
Didn't know that was a thing until I, yeah.
Very much so, yeah.
otherwise known as the UNUA. That's
Yeah, UNUA.
Yeah. Yes. You've heard of the UNUA before, well, have you not?
I knew her. Did you? And I'm sure you knew her.
Oh, of course. Luke, did you know her?
No.
No?
No.
That didn't make sense. Anyway, the three points are, I'll just read them out verbatim. The territory that space law regulates, outer space including celestial bodies, is outside the sovereignty of states' outer space activities to be conducted for the benefit of and in the interests of all states, irrespective of their degree of economic or scientific development, they are the province of all humankind. Essentially, what that's saying is that no one owns space. What you do in this space has to be for the good of everyone. Don't be selfish.
Good.
Space is for us all.
But if you went to the moon and then you started a new country on the moon or a new government, that wouldn't necessarily be bound by earthbound laws. It wouldn't necessarily, it could just say, I'm not part of that treaty, soz. It might then get nuked, but it could do that.
Well, yeah, I don't think that would. The same applies to Earth, doesn't it?
Yes.
That's yeah, how America happened.
Yeah. I remember asking my mum about this when I was very young, just being like, if I just decide my garden's a country, why can't it not be? And I never got a satisfying answer. I might declare independence.
I need you to look up, I think it's Sealand. Seaville? Look up the country, look up country, a country in the sea. There's a man who tried to establish his own country in the sea. It was on a, I think, an abandoned, either an abandoned oil rig or an abandoned army base. In the sea. So you could conceivably do that.
The Principality of Sealand.
Yeah, Principality of Sealand. There you go. Yeah.
And it, I mean, it seems to be recognized, at least by Wikipedia.
It's not quite as recognized. Look, the issue is, right, if you're going to try and make your own country, you need to be prepared for whoever you're taking the land from to invade. Stop you.
To stop
yeah.
you. Yeah.
To be fair, that is not, it is a misnamed because... It's called Sealand, but like you say, Corey, it is a man-made structure. Mm-hmm. It is not any land.
Yeah, but there's no reason that a man-made structure can't be its own country.
Yeah, but it's not land. It's true. Called Sealand.
Well, yes, but there's no there is no New Zeal in New Zealand, is there?
Shut up!
I have not seen not seen a single zeal in there. Not everyone in Scotland is named Scott. England is suffering a massive shortage of ings.
There's no ing.
Yes.
I suppose, well, the most obvious one is England is not a kingdom. It is a queendom.
Oh, yeah, United Kingdom.
So true.
It's sorry. England is not a kingdom. The United Kingdom is not a kingdom, is what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. You just think they're all the same thing. That's fine. no, so space law covers a lot of things. Basically, the preservation of the environment of space and Earth. You've got to be basically who is liable for damages caused by objects that are in space. So, for example, if you send up a satellite and it breaks someone else's satellite, you're in trouble. You've got to give them, you broke their satellite, you know?
So, did China pay for Russia's satellite?
I don't actually know the outcome of that case.
I doubt it.
They probably had to.
They did send a missile at their own satellite. I think that kind of breaks the bit about responsibility of the environment.
There's a lot of debris in space,
yeah,
to be honest.
Because
you can't... no one goes up to get satellites back down. They just leave them there.
They're just up there.
They actually just leave them
there. They push them either towards Earth or further out. Like, that's how they decommission them, is they either use the last bit of their thrusters to thrust back to Earth so that it burns up in the atmosphere, or they've got like a designated satellite graveyard a little bit further out.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're not.
I had to research it at one point for a story.
What I mean is, they're not going up and taking the satellite and bringing it back down.
No.
You know?
No.
Like, they're pushing it into space.
Should fire it towards the sun.
That's actually harder than
But the sun moves.
So does Earth.
Yeah. So does Earth.
Yeah.
No, it's harder to get stuff to hit the sun because there's magnetic fields. It's very hard to hit the sun. Mm. It's very big, but it's very hard to hit the sun. Mm. But yeah. No, we're not. My point is that we're not going up with a big net and bringing down all the stuff that we leave in space.
Big net. We should just try it.
Yeah,
they are trying to do that.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying that we're not trying. Like, this is the point. This is the thing with humans, right? We kind of do stuff for a while,
yes,
until we're like, oh, maybe this is a problem. Maybe we should stop doing it. Like landfills, you know, for a long time. I think Luke, you mentioned this, but. For a lot of human history, what we've done is basically just make a big pile and chuck all our rubbish in there.
Yeah.
Which I was thinking about this because I think you did mention this.
I tweeted it.
You tweeted it, right?
Yeah.
And it got me thinking. I was like, how could we have done that? And then I realized up until very recently, all of our waste was biodegradable because it was all natural waste.
Mm-hmm.
Like what else? Like until the invention of plastic.
Plastic, yeah.
Pretty much everything was probably biodegradable to some degree, you know?
Yeah.
So you could just take all of your food, put it in a big pile, and let stuff grow over it.
And we'd eat it. And, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You take all of your waste and do that.
Yeah.
So that's why, for all of our history, I assume, our way of getting rid of stuff was just chucking it in a big pile. Because you could chuck it in a big pile, and it would just degrade. But nowadays, we've got stuff that doesn't. And we're trying to figure out what to do with it now.
Oh, dear.
And so, yeah, space law. Lots of different things going on there. Rescue of astronauts is one of them. I think, I think that if an astronaut is stranded, like, everyone will help out, you know? It's not like, hey, it's not our astronaut. He's an American astronaut. You leave him, you get him on your own, America. Everyone's going to help out with an astronaut in space. It's like The Martian, you know? You see The Martian?
Yes.
Yeah, great film.
Stuck on Mars?
Grow potatoes.
In a way that you would not want to do it yourself. But yeah. Essentially, the idea of space laws, essentially, like, it's cooperation. It's everyone sort of working together to make space a good place for us all, you know, because it shouldn't belong to any one country or any one person, no matter what Elon Musk thinks. It should be for all humankind. So if you want more information on space law, you could go to the UN Office of Outer Space Affairs and ask them, because they will give you information. It says that the UN Office of Outer Space Affairs provides information and advice upon request to governments, non-governmental organizations, and the general public on space law in order to promote understanding, acceptance, and implementation of the international space law agreements concluded under United Nations auspices.
Excuse me, what can I get away with in space?
Hey, UN, what is legal for me to do in space, please? And then
not
they're
suspicious
also
at all. Not suspicious at all.
Well, I'm not going to go to... Like, can I eat a person in space? Is that allowed? Is it allowed?
Probably more legal.
No, actually, this is the thing. A lot of... laws... people often think, oh, space is outside of all law, so you could kill a person in space. It's not illegal. It's still illegal to kill a person in space.
Yeah.
In fact, there's agreements between all the countries that send people up to the ISS. Like, what happens if a certain person does something wrong? I think it's they are basically tried under the laws of their own country.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's whatever it's illegal to do in America, it's probably illegal to do on the ISS for Americans. There are also five treaties that are basically about countries not taking any part of space as their own, saying that everyone should be free to explore space. And like I said, liability of damage caused by space objects. So those are five treaties that have been signed by a number of countries.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's pretty much all that we've got on space law. You could get really nitty gritty into it. We could probably do that in another episode. But on the surface of it, space law is basically just about everyone being nice to each other.
Aww,
yeah,
that's good.
So
funny that we've made that the rule in space, but we're not able to do that on the floor.
We did it in our Antarctica, you know.
Sure,
kind of. In that, like,
and then we melted Antarctica.
Yeah, no one's allowed to set up a permanent residence there. No one is allowed to own it, technically, but the countries that still own the country, so there is an agreement that no one owns it, but the parts that each country said they own still are technically kind of owned by those countries, so they won't give it up. Antarctica is a weird place. Look into it. That's the story of Anne McLean.
I knew it.
I don't know why. I actually Googled
Claire McCann.
I actually Googled it earlier looking for Claire. I was like, Claire McLean, that must be her name. I don't know why. Anne McLean. That's the story of Anne McLean and the potential crime in space that she actually didn't end up committing. Because I remember hearing about the story about her being a lesbian in space that apparently committed identity theft, which, to be fair, difficult to steal someone's identity when you're in space. But it turns out that she didn't actually commit a crime at all. And it was her ex-wife that did all the criming. But in summation, I think it's important to remember to be gay and do crime.
In space.
Yeah.
Except not do crime.
No, be gay, do crime.
Be accused of crime, but didn't do.
No, be gay, do crime.
Well, that's it for this week's episode, but it is time for my favorite part of the show. What is it?
The end.
The quickfire quiz.
Dun, 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 dun.
Wee.
Gay edition.
You all know the rules.
Gay crime edition.
And I will say them now. I will ask you one question between the two of you. You have to answer the question correctly to win. But you've also got to wait for me to finish asking the question before you can win. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer, they win. Can I say win one more time?
Yes, go on then. Go on.
Win. Okay. Jamp, what is your buzzer?
Houston.
Luke, what is your buzzer?
Click. It's the sound of me logging into a bank account.
Interesting.
You really should put
from space.
You really should put a password on that, man. Like,
it's no, one it's tick just away. Click. As long as you click, you're in. Click.
Okay, so my question for you is: what is the name of the second lesbian in space?
Houston.
Jem.
Anne McLean.
That's the third lesbian.
Click.
Unfortunately, it's the third. Luke.
In my defense, you couldn't remember it.
And I did remember it. I made a big fuss
eventually
about it.
Okay, it was something with an S, like Sam something, or yeah, something like that.
It was Wait. Not.
Yeah. What?
Sally Ride?
That was the first.
That was the first one.
Well, we've gone through all three.
You've gone through two.
No, we haven't, champ. What are you talking about? You've given one answer, I've given one answer, and then you've said we've done all three.
I've given two answers. I said Anne McLean and Sally
I
Ride.
Didn't give an answer, though. I said it has the letter S in it.
Houston.
Samantha something. Samantha Pimantha.
Oh. Jane?
It's Wendy B.
Lawrence. Oh, Wendy B. Lawrence. Oh.
Terrible.
Wendy Doobie Lawrence.
Let me go. Why don't we go for another question?
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. That's embarrassing.
Who was the first lesbian in space?
Houston.
I'm sorry. You made a noise first, champ, but Luke said his buzzer first.
Sally Ride all the way to space.
Ding, ding, ding. That is correct.
You're welcome.
Well done, Luke. It's been a wonderful episode with you guys today. How do you feel about being gay and doing crimes? Feel good?
Gay and criminal.
Yeah, you feel like you want to be gay, do crime, go space? Is that your plan?
No, I feel very strongly that it's be gay, accused of crime, but didn't do.
I disagree. Be gay, do crime. That is the end of this week's episode.
You can be the first.
Be the first gay criminal in space. So, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to...
Executive producer.
I'll get there.
Ashley Muller. And Annie May.
And
also...
Thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday. And why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys. Or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. You can follow me at NotGore everywhere.
You can follow me at Jumpkin everywhere.
You can follow me at Luke Cutforth everywhere.
Goodbye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.